Now let's hear two different views of how to divide up the money from video games. When Microsoft's Halo 3 was released 2 weeks ago, it pulled in $300 million in its first week. The union of actors who provide the voices for video game characters want a bigger piece of those profits. They point to their colleagues on TV who get residual payments for reruns. Nate DeMeo reports.
If you're ever in the market for a big, slimy monster with an evil glint in its eye and blood dripping from its teeth, Fred Tatasciore is your guy.
Foolish human.
Tatasciore could also be your guy if you're looking for a wisecracking space marine or a grizzled wizard. He's played roles like those in dozens of video games since the late 90s. Back then, he says his lines were short.
You know,
Captain!
You know, that kind of thing.
Video game technology, things like memory and processing speeds, just couldn't handle much more.
Now it's cinematic. It's huge.
What are you doing here?
Getting you out. Here, put this on. You'll need it.
In the Xbox 360 game Gears of War, Tatasciore plays a short-tempered soldier who kills a lot of monsters. He also plays the monsters. Sprawling blockbuster games like this one can cost $20 million to produce.
If you're going to put, say, you know, $5 to $10 million into just the graphics for your game, it makes no sense to call up the local theater group to do the voiceover.
Chris Borders directs video game actors. He says not that long ago, game makers would use anyone they had on hand for the voiceovers. Maybe the administrative assistant had done some dinner theater. He says gamers don't want to hear Tom in accounts receivables playing the main character in a game they're paying $60 for.
There's definitely an elite group of guys and girls that have really embraced video game voice acting. They have a specific style in which they know exactly how to do the delivery, and they know how to change their pitch and voice, but still sound very realistic, which is not an easy thing to do.
Let's see, receiving a hit.
Fred Tatasciore, for instance, offers a director any number of ways to die.
Then there is the stabs.
It's fun, he says. It's acting. It's what he always wanted to do.
The slitting the throat. The games have gotten so cinematic. Gosh, all the, you know, I am now Poseidon, you know? All the stuff you've learned in school and classical theater is now pushed into the games.
But it's not a sure thing that those roles will keep coming to union actors like Tatasciore. A couple of years ago, there was nearly a video game voice acting strike. The union wanted, among other things, the video game producers to pay residuals, just like TV companies do when a show goes into reruns. Video game journalist John Gadiosi says the studios balked.
When a video game comes out, there are no ancillary revenue streams.
A movie can be sold to cable or on DVD. A video game hits the shelves, and that's it. But when blockbuster games earn blockbuster movie money, the union feels justified in asking for a bigger cut. Gadiosi says, ultimately, TV and movie producers rely on American actors with American accents.
When it comes to video games, it's really a global industry. They can tap into voice talent all over the world. A lot of times you're dealing with things like fantasy and sci-fi. You don't have to have actors that necessarily have an American accent.
And so while someone like Fred Tatasciore can do a heck of a German accent for a big World War II game, the game's producer might be able to find someone near its Berlin studio with a real one. As for Tatasciore, he says the actors deserve to get paid.
A lot of people are feeling that, hey, I'm doing as much work, you know, for this as I would a film, if not even more, because I'm giving you 100 ways to die.
He says he wants to keep acting in games. Where else can an actor play a god of the sea, a dragon, and a dashing Secret Service agent all in the same week? For NPR News, I'm Nate DeMeo.